Today we're going to talk about that time we were stuck on a mountain in a violent hail, thunder, lightning storm that mortified our hiking guide to thinking that we weren't going to make it off the mountain.
Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumpel discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
Hello, I'm John Sumpel.
I'm Karen Bernhardt.
And welcome to episode 37 of From Someplace New.
37. Yeah, and there was a time that we thought we would never get this podcast off the ground.
Well, I thought we would.
Well, you wanted to, but it was not coming.
Make the jump.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it wasn't coming together. And then all of a sudden we got like more serious with it. And here we are.
Here we are.
Nearing, 40 episodes.
37 weeks in a row. Well, yeah. There's 1 week. I think we missed 1 week.
But you're very disciplined.
Loud noises and yeah.
Yeah.
And I drag you into it.
Nice.
Now you have done a phenomenal job, but there is some times where you're like, really?
Well, sometimes I lack the discipline around it, and it's, we're out and about and we're doing things, we're busy on the weekends, and it's like, okay, we got to do the podcast. We got to get back. We got to, plan this out. Let's make the podcast happen. So sometimes a little resistance with that, but I don't know if our audience needs to know all that, do they?
Yeah, they want to know the dirty details.
Yeah, they really want to know how,
they want to hear all of us. So we should do an entire episode of outtakes.
Oh, there are so many
knockdown, drag them out conversations. No, Karen, that's not what happened. John, screw you.
We get a little intense behind the scenes. Imagine that.
Imagine that. Two people traveling the world together 24/7.
And having moments.
And having nothing but bliss with their travels. It's all sunshine, rainbows, and gumdrops. Okay, so before we get into this episode, which is going to be a recounting of our harrowing hike to Huacapucara in Peru, we'll kind of get into the details of that. But before we do that, I want to talk about the best thing that happened to you last week. So what was it, Karen?
The best thing was the other day going to the Scottish National Gallery. I've been craving some sort of experience like that around art or history or some sort of cultural touch point, where we've been. And we looked it up, saw that there was availability. You have to make bookings. Everything's about bookings now, or what we would say reservations, but they call them bookings. And we were literally across the street from the location doing a little just retail therapy and realized, let's go online, book some tickets. So we did. And it was a lovely gallery. I would say the fine art from like the Renaissance period through kind of the early 20th century. And it was great. It was just nice being around that and having exposure and just being in that environment around art was nice.
So as for me, the best thing that happened was that I got through the primary edit of the next documentary film that I'm working on. And that there's a lot of heavy lifting with that, numerous notes and hours. And it's a long process, but the next step is over. And now I have the next cut to review later today.
Bravo, John. Excellent work with that.
Yeah.
That's a nice progress.
It's a process for sure.
Yeah, that's a highlight. Yeah,
it's great. So we're moving through the process, hoping for the next film to be out next spring. We'll be sharing more information about that through our
separate platforms.
Yeah, but I will give an update here and point people to the platforms when it's available for them to take a look at it.
So before we get started on this episode, John, any updates that we'd like to share regarding COVID-19 and how they're handling things here in Scotland and specifically Edinburgh?
Well, there appears to be some light at the end of the tunnel here. Cases have gone down in the last few days, and there's already some pressure in the central region, the central belt of Scotland, to relax some of those restrictions, specifically in Edinburgh, because the cases have gone down here. So we'll see how that plays out over the course of the next several days. But there is already some level of, I think, happiness that this could be heading in a better direction here, while the surrounding countries in the UK are, and in Europe in general, are going into full lockdown mode. So we'll have to wait and see.
We should know more in the coming days, yeah. I'm thinking, yeah, from the First Minister. So we are anxiously awaiting any sort of updates around that.
Okay, so let's get into this week's episode, travel story. We're going to talk about our harrowing experience on a hike in Peru that started out as an amazing hike, but turned into one of craziness.
Right, because I was going to say harrowing that led to very rewarding. So there's an uptick to the whole story.
Well, it was the harrowing came after the reward.
Oh, well, that's true. No, well, I would say it was rewarding, then it became harrowing, and then everything worked out. So it was ultimately rewarding.
Right.
So How about that?
So we have a story to tell. It's a unique situation. Yeah. So that's the fun part about it, is that whenever you go through something that in the moment seems a little bit crazy, but you come out the other side fine, and you can talk about it and laugh about it. But in that moment, and we'll share with you why it came across as more harrowing, I think, than we thought it was. We'll share that in a second as we get kind of go through this. But let's set it up.
Let's set it up. Where are we? What are we doing?
So we are in Cusco, Peru. We had met with Juan Carlos, someone that we were recommended through our contact in Ica. And Luis was the one in Ica who recommended us and introduced us to Juan Carlos.
Which turned out to be an amazing connection. And right. So very grateful that we were given his name and now can call him a friend.
So the first step was, let's get to know each other. I'll take you to a local place here in Cusco to have an experience. And then the next day we'll get up and we'll go on this journey that's going to lead us to the big deal of the day, which was a hike to an ancient ruins at Huacapucara. So we are now in Cusco for a short amount of time once we met up with, I think it was the first weekend were there.
I think it was. It definitely was early on.
Yeah. So we're not acclimated yet. So we're coming from the coast up at in Cusco, which is at 11,000 feet. So pretty high up there.
Yeah, that altitude is challenging.
Yeah, so we're struggling with that. And then we get to the first hike. And during that hike, we got to an elevation of 15,000 feet, which was the high point of that hike. And it wasn't like it was a hard hike. We drove up even further in elevation. It wasn't like this strenuous vertical hike.
Gradual, right?
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But it was gradual on the way up. So, you know, setting that up is that we did some stuff during the morning. We got to start the hike and it was right around noon, I think it was, when we started the hike.
And the thought was that it would take us, I think he said 4 hours, his projection to do this hike.
He said, yeah, 4 to 5 hours.
So thinking that it'll still be daylight.
Right.
Spoiler, hopefully it's not a spoiler alert. Would that be considered a spoiler alert? But yeah, that it would be daylight, that we would, you know, and then have the evening portion of the itinerary.
The day was, we're going to get up early. He picked us up early. We went to a bread manufacturer. We drove to this community and we had breakfast with the locals, which was awesome. And then we had a drive to the location to start this hike. When we were done with the hike, we were then going to go and spend the night in another very rural community at this house where they were going to service traditional dinner. And the next day we were going to Rainbow Mountain. So that kind of sets up the whole thing. So one thing that's very important for people to know, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, is that I ask a ton of questions. And especially when we're out in places that I find amazing visually, I want to take a lot of photos.
Yes. And you usually tell people ahead of time that that is how you're wired and what you want to do. And they're usually like, oh, no, that's great. That's great. Of course, there'll be time to, you know, take photos. They're probably thinking, well, you know, we'll pause for 4 or 5 times. Sean's like, no, 45 times we'll pause. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Okay.
And I think I even mentioned that to Juan Carlos, is that, you know, he's like, well, we'll probably think, I'm like, oh, it's probably going to take longer because I stop a lot. I'm going to want to take a lot of photos. So, and part of it is the conversation is that talk and engage and ask a lot of questions. So we start the trip and it was great. It was a little bit rainy, I think, when we started. And then we got to a point where we got to the highest, almost to the highest point where there was this lake. We stopped, we took a break. You know, by that time I had probably already stopped dozens of times. And so we were, you know, it was a little bit slow. So we're not knowing any of this at that time, how slow it is. So we get to the point at that lake, we take a break for like 15 minutes, then we continue on, get to the highest point. And he said, now that's where we're headed down there. And he points to Wakapukara off in the distance. So we're at the highest point. So now we have to hike down to this. And my point was, oh boy, that's going to be a brutal coming back up that at this elevation. Cause we were, you know, having I wouldn't say challenging time breathing, but we were aware that it wasn't easy to breathe and thinking, well, that's all the way up after we've done the all the way out trip. Now a good part of it is coming back uphill.
A little bit of reservation, but okay, we're doing this.
Cause I'm thinking to myself, it was 2 hours to get, he was saying two and a half hours to get down. 2.5 hours to come back. I'm like, there's no way we're going to be able to come back up that at the same pace. No way. Cause
yeah,
I would say the way that it was set up, it was a gradual climb to the high point, then a descent down for quite a way. So I would say 2/3 of the trip was coming back up. Again, long story short, we get to the site. The site is absolutely spectacular. I mean, I'll post some photos on our Instagram to just give you an idea. And we posted some things in the past, but it was incredible. It was worth
stunning. That
every
area.
Moment.
What did Juan Carlos, remember he said the area was, they call it the, based on the movie Avatar, that it's like the Avatar right. of Peru, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. the look of it,
yeah.
the landscape, which is so true. It was stunning.
And one of the things that was, there was a couple of cool things during that, in addition to the site itself, and it was just gorgeous, was we saw some vicuña, which are camelids that are the most, they're in the highest elevations.
Right, highest, rarer.
And their fur is extremely expensive.
Their hair. Yeah, their hair. So you always hear about alpaca, you know, an alpaca yarn and using that in sweaters and knits and things. Vicuña is premium.
And another amazing thing too, when we were there, is that Juan Carlos had talked about seeing condors there in the past. And that's a very important thing to people who are Quechuan.
Yeah, they represent. Symbolic.
Yeah, super symbolic. He said he was there once before and had seen one or two. We saw, what, 7, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he was like,
he was blown away that it was happening. He's like, I don't think you realize just how unique and special this is, that you're seeing this many up in the air like that.
Yeah,
and just, you know, in formation and just, and they hovered. I mean, they were around and no, they're not like vultures. I don't think they were looking for, you know, prey. I don't know, but they were there.
They were
and
soaring.
It was amazing.
They were recognizing us. And I think he was telling us the story about how important they are and that it's a sign. It's a symbol. He was emotional when he saw them. And he told us that even later is that I don't think you guys understand how big of a deal it was for me to be there and see all of them.
I could tell too. He was speaking in Quechuan, but sharing the story with the driver mm-hmm. and so animated about, you know, what had just happened yeah. with that. With yeah. Maybe after we walk through, let's get to the point yeah. of, yeah, the harrowing.
So that's a part of it too. Mentioned the driver. So we are driven in a van. We are with our guide, Juan Carlos. We are with, it's 3 of us plus the driver. The driver sits back, stays back. So we drove up this crazy narrow mountain pass to get to the starting point. So he was just going to hang out and wait for us for this 4 or 5 hours. And so that's an important part of the story too. So we get down to the site. We enjoy walking around and Juan Carlos is a little bit worried that it's taken us much longer to get there.
He's checking the time.
And mm-hmm. his point was that by the time we get back, it's probably
yeah,
going to be dark.
Let's keep it moving.
He said, that shouldn't be a problem. We should be fine.
Right. But keep it moving.
So we can use our phones, but you know, we'll be fine. But then he also shared at that point that he was one time up there during a lightning storm and that he almost got hit by lightning as a result of that. He said there was a lightning strike that wasn't more than like 15 yards away. And he said he thought he was going to die. So he's sharing that story with us while we're up on the mountain And we're like, wow, that must have been crazy. So he's like, I literally thought I was going to die on this mountain. Yeah, it was the same day that he had seen the condor.
Yeah, he said he wasn't exaggerating, that it felt like a near-death experience.
You know where this is going, folks.
Whoa.
So we're walking, we're on our way back. I take a few more photos as we're going. And he's like, let's just, be a little bit more focused on the return. As we're now getting to that point where is the steep trek back up the hills, it felt like we were sucking air through a coffee stir. It was tough go.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a few times that we needed to stop just to kind of catch our breath. So we're now probably 5 hours into the trip, and we still have probably 2 hours to go. And he's saying, we're definitely going to be back by the time it's going to be dark. We're going to be hiking back in the dark. No problem. But as we continue to ascend that steep part and we're getting towards the top, out of the blue, it kind of, you got the impression
in the distance that there's something brewing.
Yeah. Storm brewing. And in a matter of, I would say, half hour, 45 minutes, we get to the top of the spot where it's the highest point again. And it's starting to thunder. You can see lightning in the distance. 15 minutes later, it is hailing sideways.
Escalated storm.
Lightning and thunder. Seems like it's getting closer. So very windy. And now it's dark.
Yes.
So we're at the point where we were just about to get to where that lake was, where we stopped for the break on the way up. And that was still quite a ways, another hour and a half from there. And it's now dark. It is unbelievable. So he tells us, turn off your cell phones. We can't have our cell phones on. We don't want to have that electrical charge. He says, that's one thing that
he was adamant about.
It is hailing sideways.
Yeah. Remember us trying to get our plastic ponchos on over our hiking gear.
Yeah.
And it whipping so hard, you could hardly even navigate it, like get it on each other's bodies.
And I also remember feeling very bad too, because I had one of these cheap.
It was a garbage bag.
But he had traded it with me and said earlier, he had said, you use mine because it's bigger.
Oh, that's
and
right.
He gave me his.
Yeah.
Because we were up on a mountain and it was dark. There was no lights. There was no light pollution whatsoever.
When
the lightning flashed, it was so bright, it was blinding.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It wasn't on top of us, but it was very close. We were in the middle of this storm, which seemed to be circling us a little bit. The thunder crashes were happening frequently. The lightning strikes seemed to be like every 15 to 20 seconds.
In addition to the lightning, we talked about the hail was starting to gather on the path. The lightning would flash and it would light up the hail, reflect off the hail, and helped us see the path. Because we weren't using, you mentioned, we weren't using our phones. So we didn't have the flashlights for our phones. And he didn't have a flashlight, did he? A traditional flashlight.
Well, not because he thought we would be back in time.
Yeah, that's true. No, so that helped us. And also, thank goodness, he was so comfortable and so familiar with that path, like knew it like the back of his hand, that he would say, step down now. There's going to be a little bit of a twist here. Be careful with this part, like guiding us, verbally guiding us, in addition to us having the occasional, from the flash of lightning, seeing something reflected at our feet.
Right. So that became crazy. Yeah, it was like one of those things that, it was like the ground was glowing so that it could guide us on the trail.
But that, oh my goodness, I just remember being like so thankful that he was as comfortable and as calm about, you remember that, John? He gave us so many verbal cues about what to do with the path.
Mm-hmm.
As we were going.
You were even saying, how does he know that there's a rock here?
Yeah.
You can't see anything.
Yeah. There were so many times I'm shocked that we didn't slip, turn an ankle or slip off of something. And come down on all fours, like crazy when I think back on that part of it. But okay.
So we were by this lake area and had to go up a little bit before we started going down, and then had to go up a little bit more to get back to where the car was. So when we were at that lake area, that's when it was the worst. And it was just coming down. The hail was coming down. It was lighting the way. And we didn't know about it until after that Juan Carlos was mortified.
Right.
Mortified.
He thankfully was staying very composed through all of this. And he's a professional. He's, right. You know, and this is his business. And I know he was very concerned, like you said, more concerned than he let on
right.
during the process. Should we share that too at some point? When was the knee? You starting to have the knee issue? This is making us sound so pathetic. But
so the challenge with this is the first elevation hike that we had done. We had been in Lima at sea level, really hadn't done any hiking. Then we were in Ica at sea level. Then we take a bus to Cusco up at 11,000 feet. Then we go on our very first weekend on a hike where we started at about 12,000 feet and get up to 15,000 feet.
Yeah, it really is about the altitude. I mean, we're not sloths. We've done some hikes
and we can hike by
any means. No, from that aspect, no. But the altitude is intense. It is it is tough to work with. You feel it even just walking around Cusco, just going out to lunch. So anyway.
And so if anybody out there is listening and they're older and you haven't hiked in a while, sometimes you realize that the way up is much easier than the way down because you might have some lock. And I had this happen. Kyle had it happen. Kyle's not old either. He had it happen when we were hiking
in Quito,
his knee locked up and mine did too. So here we are hobbling through the thunder and lightning and hail. My knee is locking up to the point where it's like excruciating for me to go down. Walking up was easy. Walking down started becoming an issue.
Right. So I'm very concerned with what's going on because here we are with no visibility and a very uneven terrain, and John's knee is giving out.
But it lasted for about a half an hour in this kind of craziness.
Felt like 3 hours when you're going through something like that. And I would say, yeah, absolutely. I was scared, but I just want to emphasize that I also felt like
we were in good
confident,
hands.
Yes, in good hands, and that it would be okay. And if that had just been you and I dealing with that, it would be a very different outcome. Again, huge credit to Juan Carlos and helping us through this.
So now we're to the point where the rain has stopped, the hail has stopped, the lightning and thunder is starting to move away, and now we still have this walk back. And it wasn't too far, but I was limping at this point. So we were slowed by that. So now we are getting to the point where the last part of the hike was back uphill. We knew that we had, once we crossed this little ravine and hiked up this hill around a little river, that we were there. We were only had another maybe 2 miles to go,
the home stretch.
But it was all uphill. By now it's about 8 o'clock and Juan Carlos thought we would be back by 6 at the latest.
And it has no way to reach.
No way. There's no cell phone. There's no way to let the driver know.
Can't give him a heads up.
Limping my way up. And we finally could turn on our phones and use our phones. Once we got around this corner, we could see the van and he could see our lights too.
Yes.
And we were shocked that he was still there because by now it's 8-ish going on 8:30 by the time we got to the car, it was around 8:30 at night, 2.5 hours later than what he thought we would have been back by. And the conversation at that point was
after hugs.
Yeah. Juan Carlos let us know at that point that he was concerned. And his thing he said was, I was mortified that I was taking these people that I was talking about building a business opportunity with and doing multiple trips. The very first time I go out on a hike with them, I take them into a thunderstorm and I'm worried I'm going
to
lose them on the mountain.
That's the end of that.
The driver was panicked and he was like, should I leave? Should I make phone call? He said he would have to drive down the mountain.
Right. Is this an emergency? What should he do next?
Yeah, he would. Can't use his phone. There's no phone calls he could make. He would have to drive down the mountain to get a signal to make a phone call. And he said he was probably within minutes of leaving.
Right.
When he saw the lights.
But he was so happy when he saw the lights on our phones.
Yeah.
As we used them after the lightning was further out.
And it was interesting too, because they were all calm, cool, and collected until we started joking about the whole thing.
And then it all started to come out.
And then it came out.
Because they were really feeling and going through.
And it wasn't. It was so much of this kind of like, it's all my fault. I took too many photos. I asked too many questions.
But yet adrenaline's going too. So it was just this chatter of like, just, yeah, and working through what just happened.
Right. And so now we have to drive, I think it was about an hour to get to where we're going. We didn't get there until after 9 o'clock at night. I think it was like 9:15. We were supposed to have dinner at this place at like 6:30. It was now after nine. And Juan Carlos said to us too, he says, it was probably not a good idea to start here because this is the highest elevation you'll be at during the entire time. He said, the Sacred Valley is actually lower than Cusco.
Yeah, that's right.
So he said, you know, all the hiking there, we're going to be, you know, 5,000 to 6,000 feet lower than we are here. So it was one of those things that we were like, oh boy, that's just nuts.
Yeah, for me, when as we're retelling this, I just, how interesting would it be if you had like video or footage of what that must have looked like, us at that hour with that storm and the conditions the way they were, us just kind of teetering along this trail.
But the bigger part of that was is that there was nobody on the trail. We didn't pass anyone, not once on down there or on the way back did we see anybody. We saw people that went on one other trail. And by the time we were getting down to where the site was, there was only like three people there. And then they were leaving as we arrived. And that
was it. Did they know something we didn't?
I don't know. But I was very much aware at one point where in hindsight, I recognize it. And he was being polite, but he was like, we need to get moving. We need to keep moving. This was before we even got there.
Yeah.
So the way down took longer than the way up. And then we stopped and stayed there. We were only there for what, maybe 20 minutes, half hour to kind of walk around the site. But the whole thing was this sense of he was being polite as opposed to, okay, guys, we're taking way too long. We really can't stop. We need to be back before it gets dark type of thing. It wasn't like that. But at the time when we left, the weather didn't look like it was going to be storming. But we also heard that happens very quickly up in the mountains.
Yeah, that's true.
It was one of those things that I would say that when we look back at in hindsight, if we weren't with a guide, it would have been bad.
It would have been disastrous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all the more reason to make sure that you have the proper gear. We didn't have headlamps. We had the right, I mean.
That's the main thing we would have done differently, right? Headlamps and a better poncho so you didn't have to borrow Juan Carlos's.
Yeah, by the time he got back, it was shredded.
Yeah, that was not going to work.
It didn't rain that long. The hail lasted for about 15, 20 minutes. The lightning storm lasted for about a half hour. But that moment where he said, get your ponchos on and turn off your cell phone.
That was the firmest he was the whole day. Yeah. He was not messing around at that point.
Yeah. And it was like just starting to get dark then, and then it started hailing. And then it just was kind of craziness.
Yeah. It was a high adrenaline moment that as we're talking about it, I can feel myself like getting in the getting into it.
It was awesome.
Like,
I mean, when I look back at it, it was an adventure.
It all represented. Yeah.
And I think the reason why we would say that is a worthy hike is the location was incredible.
It's fantastic. It's worth it in every way.
Yeah, it was probably one
of
the highlights.
Gorgeous. You know, like I said, they compare it to the scenes, like the magical scenes in Avatar, but this is real. And it's stunning.
Yeah, and photos don't do it justice by any means. Being there and being just blown away by the natural structure and then having this sacred site built on top of it was pretty spectacular. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was our travel story to the lightning storm and our harrowing experience. It truly was, when you look back at it in that moment, while I thought maybe it was adventurous, it was dangerous. It was extremely dangerous we were experiencing.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad we,
in hindsight,
but it's not stopping us. We'll do it again.
Just pace ourselves
differently. Make sure we're with the right people.
And listen to the guide.
Yeah,
listen to the guide. That has done this 100 times and knows it.
So yeah, that's our travel story. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star rating, share with friends and family. The more stories we tell, the more people will listen, hopefully, and be interested in starting their own travel adventure. So we look forward to bringing more exciting stories from the field with John and Karen in Someplace New.
And who knows when that next hike will be. Stay tuned.